send us men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for tuning into the message this morning. I'm always honored that you've taken the time to listen to the things that I've learned while following Christ, attempting to be separated from the world's systems and ideologies for more than 40 years. And no, that's not and should not be taken as a prideful statement. That's not at all what it is. It's just a reminder again that there's a reason, there's a big reason why I think that people should listen to what I've got to say in regards to the Bible and to the society that surrounds us. I've not lived as a U.S. citizen, not ever in my entire adult life. I've never believed that Romans 13 meant anything other than God's instructions for how the ecclesia is to govern the body of Christ. Govern the body of Christ first, and then the rest of the world after the body of Christ becomes obedient. I've never believed that Christ was telling his listeners to render unto Caesar, as if that meant pay taxes to the ungodly, unauthorized, unordained, little g governments of the world. And my belief system, my faith, I mean, comes directly from the Word of God and from what I can clearly see in nature. And as a result, my perspective of the Bible, my perspective for the way I believe the Bible teaches, is pretty much diametrically opposed to what 99.9% of the 501c3 government preachers and churches teach. In fact, I'll go so far as to say that my perspective on virtually every single thing, everything that they teach, is the total opposite one of another. And that being the case, one is right and one is wrong. If what I teach is wrong, in fact, I'd say just about that if one major doctrine is wrong, then you could almost cause the whole faith to fall like dominoes. And I'd say the same thing about churchianity. And I would, in most cases, begin with an argument concerning whether or not Bible prophecy has been fulfilled. And take away their argument against fulfilled Bible prophecy, and their system of faith falls like dominoes. Ask them to do an honest study on the word church, and let's see what happens. You know, from the very onset, we've got a major problem with the system of faith that's produced churchianity. Churchianity and Christianity are not the same, no more than the United States of America and America are not the same thing. We're not talking apples and apples. I want you to please continue to pray for Larry Blanchard, and thank you, Matthew, for delivering this message so that I could pass it on this morning. But Larry says, quote, "I'm feeling stronger daily, for which I offer praise and worship to our God. I believe I am stabilizing. I get fatigued in the evening, but responding to God's pace in the healing process. Thank you for all your intercessions. Blessings." And then he goes on to say that he still doesn't have his voice back, but if he keeps improving, maybe he can talk with Sam in the end of what they call June. So let's pray for that. I want you to continue to pray for Chris in the Wisconsin jail. Now, last week, I told you that I had not heard from him in more than a week, and I was a little bit concerned about that. Well, this past week, I contacted his son to check on him. Well, guess what? Since Chris has been in the jail has come up with a new policy. Inmates in the jail are only allowed to call people who are registered with the jail and who provide a photocopy of a state driver's license. And then once someone gets on the approved jail list, a captive can make a call to that person. Well, isn't that amazing how that policy just got started since Chris was calling me on a regular basis when he got taken captive? I mean, the pure wickedness of these demented people taking counsel, conspiring to continue harming God's chosen ones. And the funny thing, you know, not funny, haha, but the thing about this is they aren't harming us. They're harming themselves because there's a principle that was true in the first century and it's still true today. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when we saw thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall say and answer unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they answer unto him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Let's go back to Larry Blanchard for just a minute, and the possibility that there could be something to the shedding theory of vaxxers making non-vaxxers sick. Michael sent me a link to an article in Discovery Magazine from all the way back in 1955. And it's a fascinating read. And I'm going to include the link with the message link. But it's the story of Gloria Ramirez. And Gloria had been rushed into the emergency room in a Riverside, California hospital, and where she did eventually die. But to make a very, very long story as short as I can, several of the emergency room nurses and others who had come into contact with Gloria got very, very sick. And apparently Gloria's body was shedding something mysterious, and those who got close to her, and I believe most or all of them maybe were other women, but they had gotten very sick. And so for weeks after this, quote, experts had analyzed all the details of the events, trying to find out the source of the outbreak caused by Gloria's skin or by her blood. And they never really did figure it out. Now, they think they did, and I'm just going to refer you to the article, but I'm going to read to you the last three paragraphs of the lengthy story for what they concluded happened in this hospital in Riverside, California in 1995 with this lady named Gloria Ramirez. Quote, Andreessen's team is going to conduct more experiments and check Ramirez's blood again. Soon they hope to turn their preliminary report into a paper that they will submit to a refereed forensic journal. Then, thanks to the publicity of the Riverside case, they'll have no problem shifting from one eldritch tale to another. They're swamped with calls and letters urging them to get to the bottom of a host of mysteries, from Gulf War syndrome, the symptoms suffered by some U.S. soldiers who fought in the Persian Gulf, to sudden infant death syndrome. People are frustrated and want us to look at these cases from a chemistry point of view, says Andreessen. 14 months after the incident, the Riverside case's legacy remains peculiar and shadowy. If Andreessen's team is right, one has to wonder whether the outbreak was unique. For now, researchers can't find a similar poisoning in the medical annals, nor can they say whether hospitals should fret about future cases. The Livermore scientists do offer a cautionary note in their report, which recommends that hospitals be made aware of the possible consequences of such a chemical reaction occurring in their emergency rooms. Other scientists are more convinced that action is necessary. This is likely to occur again. DMSO is not uncommon, asserts Barry Taylor, a microbiologist at Loma Linda University School of Medicine, who has followed the case closely. In the end, the Riverside case leaves us with a warning and a puzzle. The warning is that the human body can be a place where bizarre and potentially deadly chemistry can occur. The puzzle is that if the Livermore investigators are wrong, then what did happen in the Riverside emergency room on February 19th, 1994? End quote. I think we should read this article to see what we can maybe learn between the lines. But I also need to think we need to be very careful as well and not fall for the fear factor that it tries to create. Remember now that the enemies of Christ love to keep people in fear, and we are not to live in fear. And there were some lawsuits that were filed, of course, as a result of what took place. And one of the hospital side of the lawsuit's lawyers claimed that the sicknesses were caused by mass hysteria, a sort of psychosis that was brought on by the strange smell of Gloria's body. Well, that's very interesting. So go take a look at that article and read it. It's very long, but it's definitely worth reading when considering this, the possibility of this theory of shedding. My friend Dave Ball, who is a Facebook warrior for Christ, sent me a commentary that he wrote this week, and I've put it on the comments page of the website. And when you've got an extra minute, I want you to please go there and read what Dave has to say this week. It is really, really good. This coming week, on the 16th, I've been asked to present an argument in a debate. I guess you might call it a debate, with the title, Should Christians Obey Caesar? Well, can you figure out which side that I would be taking? Well, this event is supposed to take place at the Panera Bread Company on North Kansas in Springfield. Apparently, they've got a conference room that can hold quite a few people. And Lord willing, we'll get a good quality recording, and I'll try to get it up on the website as soon as I can. But if any of you are near the area and can stop in and sit on our side of the aisle, that'd be great. And it's supposed to begin at 6 p.m. and the room is reserved until 8. And Teresa and I will probably get there a little bit early to eat. And then I've got some books to set up to offer those who have never heard the gospel. Well, I saw and heard something else in the news this past week that I want to share with you. Again, because it goes directly towards the message this morning as we're continuing the faith once delivered to the saints. This is Chuck Todd and Anthony Fauci. I want you to listen to this. It's just about a minute, but take a listen to this.
Now you're at the focal point. What is your level of concern that we're going to discredit public health officials to the point of, you know, look at Russia. They actually have a good vaccine. And none of their citizens will take it because they don't trust their own government.
Right. It's very dangerous, Chuck, because a lot of what you're seeing as attacks on me, quite frankly, are attacks on science. Because all of the things that I have spoken about consistently from the very beginning have been fundamentally based on science. Sometimes those things were inconvenient truths for people, and there was pushback against me. So if you are trying to, you know, get at me as a public health official and a scientist, you're really attacking not only Dr. Anthony Fauci, you're attacking science. And anybody that looks at what's going on clearly sees that. You have to be asleep not to see that. That is what's going on. Science and the truth are being attacked.
So an attack on Fauci is an attack on science. All right, then. So for the follower of Christ, I think we better figure out what an attack on science is. If we're attacking Fauci's lies, which he's committed over and over and over, are we attacking science? Now, I need you to stay with me because we're eventually going to get to this, because this is actually the subject of the message of the Faith Once Delivered to the Saints this morning. So just keep this in mind. It's going to take me a little while to get there, but we'll get back to that. But I thought it was interesting that Chuck Todd, and if you see the video, I mean, his facial expressions are just priceless, because I think he really believes the garbage that he spews. But he said that people in Russia, that they've got a really great, quote, vaccine, but they won't take it because they don't, quote, trust their, quote, government. And he's just perplexed at why people in the U.S. who should be worshiping their flawless, quote, government, you know, because everybody trusts them, but they won't take the perfectly safe, quote, vaccine. That's just laughable, watching these nut jobs trying to convince themselves and the mindless zombies that that believe them. Good friend of mine asked me this week if I believe the numbers. Well, I think they claim that it's over 200 million people who have, quote, taken the jab. And the first thought to me says no, because every word that comes from their mouths is usually a lie. And another, if so many people are taking it, I mean, why do they have to bribe so many others to take it? I mean, $15 million lotteries, free beer, free baseball tickets. I mean, how stupid. And if the pandemic was so real and they had developed a, quote, vaccine, people would have flocked to it and even paid for it. But the vile thing is free and they can't even give it away. And they have to resort to bribery to get people to take it. Well, who knows? Well, God knows. But for us, keep resisting, keep fighting against it, keep trying to make others aware of it. Just say no. My body, my choice. If you feel like you're being compelled relentlessly to take the jab, well, just identify as someone who is, quote, vaccinated. You know, the queers and the freaks can identify with whatever they want. Well, we'll just identify as, quote, vaccinated. Well, of course, that's a feeble attempt at humor. No, we're not going to identify as something that we're not. We're not going to identify with evil no matter what comes our way. We're going to stand fast. We're going to fight. We're going to fight hard and fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. I am officially done with Walmart. I believe I've been in my last Walmart store yesterday. I went to go buy some paper so that we could print the items for Taylor's baby shower. And for those who may not have known, our middle daughter, Taylor, and her husband, Christopher, are expecting their first baby around the first of what the world calls September. And we're all just really excited. But I went into Walmart to buy some paper. And the second I walked in the door, the first thing I heard was an alarm going off. It was a new sounding one too, just ominous. I didn't like it at all. In fact, it reminded me of a buzzer sound or something like that from jail or something like that. But it was an alarm of some kind, and I didn't like it. And I knew it had nothing to do with me, so I just kept walking. I mean, I just walked in the store. But then a few seconds later, I heard it again. And a few seconds after that, I heard it again. And this stupid, ominous alarm just kept going off for pretty much the whole time that I was in Walmart. And each time I heard it, I just hated it more and more. Well, finally, I found my paper and proceeded to the checkout. And, you know, I never did find out what the alarm was for. I have a suspicion as to what it was for, but I never did actually find out what it was. But anyway, when I was done getting my paper, I proceeded to the checkout. And I looked for a line to get into, and I couldn't find one. They had replaced the entire checkout with a huge self-serve checkout. There was not one single line to get into where someone would take your, quote, money and send you on. Not one. It was all self-checkout. And so I'm figuring that the alarm that I kept hearing going off every few seconds was probably to alert someone that they'd made a mistake while self-checking out themselves from the things that they wanted to buy from Walmart. I don't know that's what it was, but I'm just telling you that this alarm was going off, I mean, nearly the whole time I was in the store. And, I mean, it was awful. I hated it. I asked one of the young ladies there if Walmart had replaced all the lines with self-checkout. And she said yes. So I handed her my paper and told her I'd been to my last Walmart. And of course, I know she couldn't have cared less. She probably worked at Lowe's last week. She probably worked at Target or McDonald's the week before that, or next week might be working, you know, at another place. Who knows? But it didn't matter to her one bit whether I shopped at Walmart again or not. But I'm telling you, all this self-checkout stuff is a forerunner of something worse yet to come. And I believe it's a huge step forward to the cashless society. And I'll be sending an email to Walmart this week, which probably won't even get read, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's ridiculous, and I've been to my last one. Now, one more thing I saw this week. Now, this is actually good. This is exciting. In Czechoslovakia, right alongside the other ATMs that are available, is a new gold ATM. It only accepts cash. It's totally anonymous. A person puts in cash and out comes real gold. Well, how about that? I mean, that's totally awesome. Take the, quote, government's vile garbage excuse for currency, put it into a machine right there on the street, and out comes God's money. Now, would that take place in the U.S.? Doubtful. Because I'm sure something like that would fall under the stupidest named, quote, crime called money laundering. I mean, think about that name even, money laundering. Okay, that is exactly what people should be doing. They should be taking the vile garbage currency that the, quote, government puts out and laundering it, cleaning it, turning it into gold or silver. Which the Bible, again, as clearly as anything can be shown from the scripture, says is God's currency. And Christians, just like brainwashing our dirty minds, we should be laundering, making clean the, quote, government's vile excuse for currency and turning it into something that God says is clean, which is gold and silver. So way to go, Czechoslovakia. Whoever it is that's responsible for the gold ATMs that are making it easy for people to take their worthless, dirty paper, quote, money and turn it into gold. All right, if you recall, in the very first message that most of you have ever heard me preach, I made the statement that we should not take any word for granted, especially words that are in the Bible. But then again, as followers of Christ, what should our words be? What definitions of those words should we be using? Not just Bible words, all of our words. What words should we be using? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. As I am most days, I'm not terribly concerned with what the world is doing. The world is doing what they do. I mean, none of what they do surprises me. They're mostly insane. I mean, all you have to do is listen to them talk, watch their behavior. They're nuts. And they're nuts because that's what the outcome is for people who do not believe in the laws of God, as in their total applicability today. I expect the world to be insane. I am mostly concerned with what people who call themselves followers of Christ, that's the focus of my ministry, has been so far pretty much the whole time. Judgment begins at the house of God. And if we can get the house of God in order, maybe we can reach others in the asylum. But we've got to get our house in order first. Well, it'd be great if we had a house to begin with, but we've been living in someone else's house for pretty much our entire existence. And we've got a house. In fact, we've got mansions. And all we have to do is move in. So I've been trying to first get people who claim to be followers of Christ to realize that we have our own house that was given to us, built on the rock. It's the greatest house ever built. If we would just get moved in, I mean, wow, just think of all the promises that God gave to his sons and daughters when they obey him and move into his house. Why in the world would we not prefer that? It's just beyond me. Anyway, so I'm trying to get those who claim the name of Christ. Well, here we go again. We first need to understand that we've got a house. Then we need to understand what in the name of means, which means by whose authority are you living? Who gave you the authority to live in that house? You're supposed to live in our house and live by our rules. How dare you think that you can live in your own house with a set of rules different than ours? The response to that, it's easy. Go take your arguments to my Father. Well, yeah, as simplistic as it sounds, I believe it would be just like that when we move into our Father's house and decide to live by his rules. So I've been trying for all these years to get people who claim Christ to realize that they've been given and take the necessary steps of obedience to claim our inheritance. And part of that, a big part of it, is living exclusively by the Word of God. I fully believe that if I can take the Word of God and skillfully use it like a sword or like a surgeon's knife, if and when men are persuaded that thus saith the Lord really means something, I believe that change will occur, and it could happen very fast. It isn't necessary again this week to read Jude 1 through 5, but we're talking about the system of belief once, one time, delivered to the saints in the first century. We must believe the same things they did. We must believe the same way they did. If we don't, we don't have the common salvation. We surely may think we do, and Lord knows nearly everyone out there sure thinks they do. But I'm telling you that what the great majority of people believe is biblical faith resembles absolutely nothing from what the first century believers had. I want you to look with me this morning to Romans chapter 14. Let's begin in verse 11, and we'll try to get through to the last verse. This is Romans chapter 14 and verse 11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. I want you to stop here for just a minute. Let's look at this. This is the faith. This is the system of belief once delivered to the saints. Paul had just said, for none of us liveth to himself. This is verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Then he said, it is written, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess. Okay, Paul, where was that written? You said, it is written. All right, where was it? I want you to keep your finger here in Romans 14, and let's turn to Isaiah 45, and let's begin in verse 18. This is Isaiah 45 and verse 18. For thus saith Yahweh that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am Yahweh, and there is none else. I've not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, Yahweh, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I Yahweh? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out from my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Paul is talking about Isaiah 45 when he's teaching in Romans 14. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations, and every knee shall bow. For those who have assembled and escaped the nations, those are the ones who have bowed the knee. For men who will not assemble, men who love the nations, just like in the audio of Chuck Todd and Fauci, where they talked about loving their nations, those are men who not only refuse to escape the nations, but they would be men who would do everything in their power to prevent others from escaping the nations. Now that we know where Paul was talking about concerning what was written, let's go back to Romans chapter 14 and continue. All right, Romans 14. In verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify one another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Verses 22 and 23 are the sum of the reason why I read the things I did from chapter 13 this morning. The conclusion of all in this chapter is whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And again, what's faith? It's a man's system of belief. And our faith has got to be the faith once delivered to the saints. Anything other than that faith, that system of belief, is sin, according to Romans 12 and or Romans 14 and verse 23. Flip over to Colossians 3 and let's look at verse 16. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Everything we do, everything we say, everything we sing, which is another reason why I'm just so concerned that the body of Christ doesn't have a lot of good, godly music to listen to. You know, church music is like wading through the sewer to get to the good water many times, but sadly, that's about all we have if we want to listen to something that's even remotely wholesome. I've got to pick and choose a lot of good things to listen to. It's hard. We need more godly, biblical music to listen to. Because as followers of Christ, everything we do, everything we say, everything we sing is supposed to be to the glory of God. Our words should all be by, through, and to Christ. I said all of that to finally get to this point. Our words, the way we speak, our understandings of things has got to be based on the words of God, because that's what those who had the faith once delivered to them, that's what they did. So Fauci says that an attack on him is an attack on science. Really? Well, I guess maybe in their world, because their world is so far away from our world, or at least it's supposed to be. It's truly become, they believe that midnight is noon and noon is midnight. But for us, for those of us who live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, you know, when I heard him say that an attack on him was an attack on science, I actually laughed out loud. I want you to turn with me, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want to show you why it was so funny hearing Fauci say what he said about science, okay? I'm going to show you this morning what the definition of the word science is according to the words of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. As most of you know, I don't believe what the quote scientists say concerning the shape of the world. I don't believe what NASA says. In fact, if I happened to be forced to listening to someone from NASA speak, and they actually stated that it was 12 o'clock noon, I'd probably have to walk outside or look out the window to verify it, because I don't believe them. I don't believe a word they say. But that's not where I'm headed in this message. I'm going to take a minute again, though, to say that what the quote scientists say about the shape of the world, what they say about the origins of the world, what they say about the sun, the moon, and the stars, what they say does not agree with the Bible. It does not agree with the words proceeding out of the mouth of God. Say what you want to me. Call me an idiot. Call me a moron. Tell me to take you off the mailing list. Whatever you want to, but I'm going to believe what the Bible says about this world, and anyone who tells me otherwise, I'm not going to listen to them. And after we get through this message this morning, I hope that you're going to see just how bad it is to call a man who calls himself a, quote, scientist, but does not claim that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He set up his kingdom, and every knee is to bow, and every tongue is to confess that he alone is Lord. And if we refer to anyone who does not make that statement, if we call them a scientist, it's because we don't know our Bibles. Every word of God is what we're supposed to live by. We should know the words of God. We should know what they mean. We should live, talk, and breathe by those words, because the ones who had the faith once delivered to the saints, they certainly did. Now, again, I realize that over the course of 2,000 years, men have done all they could do to change the words of God, alter the words of God, even adopt the words of God to try to make them their own, all in attempts to deceive people, which is meant to keep people from finding the king and his kingdom. So Fauci says that he's a scientist, and attacking him is attacking science. Well, maybe in the deceived world that he lives in, but for us, it should not be so. The word science, as found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, comes from the Greek gnosis, meaning knowledge, or as Strong says, science. And I'm not sure why Strong uses the same word to define the word, but in the biblical sense of the word, as found here in in 1 Timothy 6:20, the word means knowledge signifies in general intelligence, understanding, the general knowledge of Christian religion. The deeper, more perfect, and enlarged knowledge of this religion, such as belongs to the more advanced, especially of things lawful and unlawful for Christians, moral wisdom, such as is seen in right living. Thayer's lexicon says this about the word gnosis, as it's found in other passages of Scripture. Knowledge, with the genitive of the object, from Luke 1:77, the knowledge of God, such as is offered in the gospel, from 2 Corinthians 2:14, especially in Paul's exposition of it, 2 Corinthians 10:5, 2 Corinthians 4:6, of Christ as a Savior, Philippians 3:8, 2 Peter 3:18, with subjunctive genitive, the knowledge of things which belongs to God. Romans 11:33, by itself, signifies in general intelligence, understanding, Ephesians 3:19, the general knowledge of the Christian religion. Romans 15:14, 1 Corinthians 1:5, the deeper, more perfect, and enlarged knowledge of this religion, such as belongs to the more advanced. 1 Corinthians 12:8, 1 Corinthians 13:2, 8 and 1, 1 Corinthians 14:6, 2 Corinthians 6:6 and 2, 2 Corinthians 8:7, 2 Corinthians 11:6, especially of things lawful and unlawful for Christians. I'm telling you, these are all verses of Scripture that contain the word gnosis. This is what it means. It's the higher knowledge of Christian and divine things, which false teachers boast of. 1 Corinthians 6:20, where we just read, moral wisdom, such as is seen in right living. 2 Peter 1:5, and in contact with others. 1 Peter 3:7, objective knowledge, what is known concerning divine things and human duties. Romans 2:20, Colossians 2:3, concerning salvation through Christ. Luke 11:52, where gnosis is used together, the former seems to be knowledge regarded by itself, the latter wisdom as exhibited in action. Romans 11:33, 1 Corinthians 12:8, Colossians 2:3 is simply intuitive. Applies chiefly to the apprehension of truths. Applies chiefly to the apprehension of truths, the power of reasoning about them and tracing their relations. To much the same effect on the Romans passage cited. Nearly reverses another distinction elsewhere, however. He and others regard merely as the more general or the more restricted special term. But this, and I hope that you agree, is just amazing. I went this week and I visited several, quote, science websites. And I just wanted to give them an opportunity to explain the origins of man. And over, the world's, quote, scientists, they really think they've got it all figured out. This is taken from the American Scientist website. Here's an article about the origins of life. It started out by saying, quote, as the frontiers of knowledge have advanced, scientists have resolved one creation question after another. We now have a pretty good understanding of the origin of the sun and the earth. And cosmologists can take us to within a fraction of a second of the beginning of the universe itself. Wow, that's amazing. You can take us to within a fraction of a second of the beginning of the universe itself. I mean, that statement alone proves exactly what I said when I started this message. The world is insane. What an arrogant statement to make. And friends, for those of us who claim to be followers of Christ, to give this 1 ounce of credence or respectability, we should be ashamed. I went on and read, I skimmed, because this thing just went on for pages and pages and pages. I was looking for anything, the tiniest shred or hint of some sort of even a pittance to God as the creator. And there was absolutely nothing. And knowing that the word science means the knowledge of God, how dare these men take the word science to themselves and claim to have the origins of the universe, have it down to the fraction of a second, and make absolutely no mention of the God of the Bible. And here's just another excellent example of men taking something from the Word of God and twisting it into something it does not say or mean, and then deceiving many, many people into believing it. The word science to the believer, to the follower of Christ, means the knowledge of God, the things of God. And if someone wants to discuss the origins of life or the origins of the universe apart from the knowledge of God, no way, not for the follower of Christ. Webster's 1828, the first definition of science is this: in a general sense, knowledge or certain knowledge, the comprehension or understanding of truth or facts by the mind, the science of God must be perfect. You know, there's only one other place in the KJV or in the Geneva also, I'm pretty sure that that statement is correct, that the word science is found, and that's in Daniel 1:4. And it speaks of Daniel and Ananias and Azariah and Mishael, and it says that they were children in whom there was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. The word here in the Hebrew is mada, which means knowledge. The word mada is found six more times in the first 39 books, and it's always translated as knowledge. It's the knowledge of God. The word science or scientist has been hijacked. It doesn't mean what it's commonly been known and accepted as. With all that said about the word science in the Bible, but you go back and look again at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verses 20 and 21 again. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. He's saying that science is the faith. It's the faith once delivered to the saints, the knowledge of the truth of God, the knowledge of God that brings men to repentance. Men oppose this science, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. If someone were to call themselves a scientist, they should be saying they are one who believes has the knowledge of God. That's what a scientist is. Many profess, even today, many profess, but they have erred concerning the faith. Men today like Fauci and those of his ilk, oh, they're all men of faith. They've got a system of belief, but it's not according to the knowledge of God. NASA has faith. The NASA, quote, scientists have faith, and some of them even claim to be, quote, Christian, but they're not. They're churchian, but they're the ones who profess, and while professing, they have erred concerning the faith. People in the world today who claim, quote, science, and their science is not according to the knowledge of God, friends, we're not to believe them. And if you happen to hear their voice, and I know it's hard not to hear them from time to time. I actually listen to him from time to time. I do so purely for message material. But we're not to believe them. Paul pleaded with Timothy, "Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of the knowledge of God." This is the faith once delivered to the saints. I so believe that if we would make sure that these are our faith, our systems of belief, that we'd be so much farther in our generation towards ecclesia, towards living in the house, the mansion that God prepared for his sons and daughters. This week I heard about a Florida community that wanted to, quote, pass some legislation to make sure that Trump couldn't get into their community. So what was their plan? Well, they were going to outlaw casinos. How sad. The world, as lost as they are, has the sense to know that if they wanted to ban Donald Trump, they should allow casinos. You know, millions and millions of professing and friends, now listen, not just churchians, but professing Christians are still hanging on to Trump. The man who is was the most pro-sodomite, quote, president to ever be in that position. He accomplished more for the pro-Israeli agenda in 4 years than any other, quote, president before him. He has built his, quote, empire with casinos. And now if the U.S., in the minds of churchians and even professing Christians, is so bad that their choice, the lesser of two evils, is Donald Trump, wouldn't that cause some people to scratch their heads and think, well, there's got to be something else out there? There is something else out there. It's the kingdom of God. It's the king and his kingdom. And it's 100% perfect. The laws are flawless. The king is flawless. His ways are perfect and just. All we have to do is walk through the door and into his house, the house, the nation that he has prepared. In closing this morning, I want you to look at a passage that we've seen before. But in light of our topic, the faith once delivered to the saints, I want us to look at it again, freshly, from the eyes of those that first heard this, the faith, the system of belief once delivered to the saints. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." I realize that this was written in the first century. It was written to people who are about to experience the greatest salvation in the history of mankind. Jerusalem was soon to be destroyed. And not only were their spirits to be saved, but their bodies also. Now is the day of salvation. From generation to generation, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We've put off building the kingdom long enough. We've been living under someone else's roof long enough, being held to the rules of the household for long enough. Today is the day. Now is the time. Verse 3. "Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, and distresses." And I'll say this again right here. A scientist has got to be the minister of God. If a science or a scientist is not the minister of God, teaching the knowledge of God, then he is science falsely so-called. Verse 5, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Once again, it shows time and place and the people to whom it was written. But I'm telling you this morning that these are eternal principles that endure from generation to generation. You're not straightening us, but you're straightening your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, because of this, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You know, if you've listened to me preach once or 100 times, you know that I teach time, place, and people. Paul was pleading with the men and women, boys and girls in the first century to come out from among them and be separate. But this is not just something that was for them. This is a principle given to them, but also for us. This is eternal. This transcends all generations. This is the faith, the system of belief once delivered to the saints. We want to see the work of God in our lives and in our generation. I have to believe that. I have to have hope in that. Well, this is how it happens. It doesn't happen apart from this. This is science. This is the knowledge of God. This is what living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God means. For too long, we've thought that we were commanded by God to live as foreigners in other people's houses. We thought God had told us to be good citizens of the world and obey and just wait for deliverance. But that isn't Bible. That's not the Bible way. That's not the faith. That's not the system of belief once delivered to the saints. Today, we live in a society run by people like Fauci. Fauci is the epitome of science, falsely so-called. We live in a society run by people like Trump and Biden and Harris. These people are affecting our lives. They're affecting the way we live. And it should not be so for those of us called by the name, the authority of Christ. Those are all strange voices. They're wolves in. You know what? They're not even disguising themselves any longer. They're not wolves in sheep's clothing. They're just straight out wolves. They are what they are. And they're not the least bit ashamed of it. If we want him to be a father unto us and to be his sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty, then be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What about scientists who have absolutely nothing of the knowledge of God? It's science, falsely so called. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com.